The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
On this episode of Pennies Going in Raw, we talk about the bounce back of small and mid-cap stocks. We talk about sectors we're excited about in the future and this week in the market.
You find out, life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Wednesday, August the 18th, and it seems like, you know, every dip's been eaten up. Today's, you know, when we're recording, this is Tuesday. It seems like it's the first day the SPY's kind of had a dip that hasn't been just munched up all the way real quick. It seems like down like 1% or so right now. But aside from Monday afternoon with Biden talking, and then it just seemed like the market kind of took a little hit from that, it seems like there's kind of, you know, still that inverse relationship with small caps still. You know, are we still kind of just waiting for that bounce back to come?
Yeah, well, what we're seeing is, and it's kind of what we've seen throughout this entire year, is we've seen this massive disconnect. And the way that it's happening is that it really just seems that SPY is just, you know, on a constant tear. And everything else kind of, you know, they all kind of take turns, you know, being the disconnect. So before it was growth, and then it was value. And what I mean by disconnect is that usually something like, you know, when SPY is going up, you know, I mean, growth goes with it, you know, and then when SPY, or, you know, like this, you know, SPY is what I use, but let's just say the market starts to take a downward turn and everybody flees to value. Now what we're seeing is that SPY is just on a continuous tear, and instead the market sectors are kind of rotating, but they're rotating on their own. And you're just seeing, you know, like a shift into value, or you're seeing a shift in growth. Like when we think about it, the market has officially doubled from pandemic lows, okay? Yet, and this is what was crazy, as of today, August 17th, Netflix is red on the year, Amazon is red on the year. There are plenty of companies that, you know, I mean, when you're like, oh shit, like everybody's 401ks are ripping and stuff. Like, no, the market's ripping, but like Amazon's red on the year now. Netflix is red on the year. Like, these are some of the biggest companies that make up the indexes, and they're red. So it's kind of crazy what we're seeing. And I know we talked about it. We talk about it a lot, but like, this disconnect truly is monumental, and it truly is history making, because SPY just continues to be on a tear. That 50-day moving average, it's so aggressively bought. It won't even end the day down on the 50-day. It'll touch it, and immediately it's bought back up and bid back up. It's incredible. It's really incredible what we've seen.
So what is exactly causing SPY to be propped up while it just seems like all these other blue chips are being taken down too, as you're kind of mentioning?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different theories, and everybody swears that they know, you know, exactly the right answer. And I'm not gonna pretend like I know the exact right answer. But in my opinion, it comes down to what we talked about, is that, you know, the market's already rigged to the upside, being that, you know, even, and this is what I try to explain to people, is that even if D-Day were to ever come, like, let's just say, you know, something absolutely horrible, the market would halt down for the day at 6 or 7%, whatever it is. And then, so at the bare minimum, we know that the market is, but if the market goes up 8% a day, they don't, you know, like, that's fine, but down, they'll halt it. So, I think that one, people rise that the market's rigged to the upside. You know, the other thing is that from a catalyst fundamental standpoint, there's nothing that has changed. Even today, the Fed said that, who's it, Hubbard or something, said that there's still COVID is still a thing. So they're going to continue to keep, you know, printing money, and they're going to continue to, you know, stimulate the economy. And I mean, that's what the economy wants to hear. So you see that even you talked about it earlier, that today is the first day that the market's down. And the crazy thing is that the market started to flush down into the Fed talk. And it was like, the Fed talk was like, yeah, we're not going to change anything. And now, like, as we're since they said that, the market's up, you know, half a percent since. So, you know, it might actually end the day green here, you know, like, it has 40 minutes left in the way that it's looking, like, it might end the day green, which is insane. So you can see that people are thinking that any Fed meeting could be the one where they raise interest rates. But then again, you know, the second that they say, we're not going to change anything just yet, the dip gets bought.
What do you think is one of the stranger ones that is red on the year? I think it's kind of weird that you mentioned Netflix is red on the year, and it seems like it's one of the bigger years for Netflix with, you know, COVID. I would expect that one to be, you know, higher.
Their earnings report, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Sorry, a little bit of brain fog. Like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, wasn't that they lost a pretty good amount of users. So Netflix is like one of those where you know, it's down 3% on the year. And I don't think it should be down on the year, but it shocked the street, the amount of people the amount of users that they lost, especially because, like, you know, COVID's still kind of a thing. Like, you wouldn't really expect everybody to cancel it. But one of the theories was that the reduced pricing that they gave because of COVID or whatever for new users, once that became close to being done with, or, you know, done with, I think it was like 16 or 18 months, whatever it was, that everybody canceled. And so that might have been one of the biggest things, is that they couldn't have that the freemium scale to where, like, they did the transition over, everybody just canceled. So that's one of the biggest things. But I mean, when you look at it, and I don't have them all up in front of me, but like, Amazon sure as hell shouldn't be down on the year. I mean, they just continue, even at this size, their growth rate is consistent. Okay, so Netflix, fine, we can make a case for why it's down, but, and that's because they had no growth. But Amazon continues to grow and still is down. You know, it's amazing that they'll beat earnings by like $1 billion. And the market and the stock will get hit. It's like, oh, like $1 billion wasn't good enough of a beat. What?
Yeah, I think Netflix is probably just down because after they took off The Office, there's no real like rewatchable show over and over again. Big mistake.
There's no reason to have Netflix,
dude,
right?
I swear, I hate having to go to like other weird ass apps just to watch The Office whenever I'm bored. Oh, do you think the, you know, all the Afghanistan news going on has anything to, will have any effect on the market? Or what do you think is like some of the scenarios that could happen with that?
You know, I'm not really that political. But if we're talking about it from an economic standpoint, you know, there's two sides to this. There's the side that says that the Taliban.
It's not like fucking a Willy Wonka soldier. Taliban.
Taliban. You see that I in the middle there? It really gets me. I want to say like Taliban.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so the T's, they will call them the T's. The T's, you know, like they're, from my knowledge is that, you know, you have one side that said that they're trying to govern correctly and that they're trying to change and that they're open to. One of the biggest things is that, you know, is how they treat women. And so they were talking about, you know, that they're open to discussing peacefully and stuff like that. So you have like people that want to believe that, you know, that they want to govern correctly and they want what's best. And then you have the other side who are saying like, dude, hello, like we know who the Taliban is. Like, you know, they've done some pretty not good things. So, you know, it's really interesting because futures did get hit a little bit when they took, Kabul, you know, futures got hit a little bit. But I think the bigger thing is that I think everyone's kind of waiting to see what happens. You know, because you have the people that want to believe that, hey, they're there for the right reasons and that, you know, they're a changed party and stuff. But I think that right now it's going to be, you know, everybody's still waiting to see what happens. And I think that you know, something were to happen that's unexpected, that, yeah, the market would get hit. But again, I think it's one of those things where it comes down to the 50-day moving average. And it's like the 24-hour news cycle. I really just think that right now, until something with our economy changes, and what I mean by that is like we stop buying billions and billions of dollars and stop putting billions and billions of dollars into the economy, I think that until that happens, you know, I mean, it would take a lot to really stop this fucking train, like this insane run. Like, it's really incredible to think about. And when I saw this, I was like, that's insane. It's really incredible to think about that. Less than 2 years ago, the market has doubled from its lows in less than 2 years. I mean, I remember when I first started, it was like the market moved like 5% and people were like, wow. Nice. Like what a good year that was, you know? And then now it's like doubled and it's like nothing. It's like a penny stock.
Do you think, I know like you're obviously going to Egypt, which is only around three countries away from Afghanistan. So it seems pretty timely on your part. Do you have any, you know, intentions of lightening tensions over there? Maybe a little Roth IRA mentioned. Do you think that could... I don't know the average lifespan over there, but I'm sure it's close to the time that they can withdraw from a Roth tax-free.
You think I'm going to sit down? I mean, you saw the videos of the Taliban working out.
Yeah, sit down with some of the town elders and say, hey, like, I understand it, you know, it may be a little late for you, but for a lot of these younger guys, you know, the Taliban is right now, but... Have they thought of what's after the Taliban?
Yeah, you know what? To your point, though, it's never too late to start, fellas. If you're listening, it's never too late to start. I mean, you know, you might not be able to really build her up, but, you know, it's never too late to start the Roth IRA gang. Or you know, maybe not gang, but, you know, Roth IRA clubhouse.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But no, I mean, I think maybe just.
Am I really only two countries away?
Three. I think, you know, Egypt, and then there's like Jordan.
Whoa.
It's Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan.
And
Jordan is pretty small. So it's like Egypt, small buffer, Iraq.
Whoa. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of civil unrest. It sounds like where I'm going to be near. Oh, that's not
yeah. Ideal. You just think it's all camels and fucking
King Tut
and pyramids. Yeah, it's not.
Well, listen, if I don't make it to Reno, then I don't know. I guess you assume that you know. I mean, I guess maybe me and King Tut. You know, King Tut let me stay for a while.
Yeah, dude, you. Yeah, it'll be pretty easy. Like, I could probably just call someone that lives over there and say, hey, look for the guy that dresses like a 65-year-old sailor at Banana Republic and try and just take him hostage, man. And, you know, we could do like a hostage situation with some ransom from TD Ameritrade.
Good publicity for him. But I'll trade you my Roth IRA. Oh God, I would never.
Just like
God, I would never do that.
if you were kidnapped by the Taliban, I think you'd at least consider giving up your Roth IRA.
It's the principles. It's the matter of principles. I really don't think I could. That's not part of the early withdrawal exemptions list. So I'd be paying taxes on it, and I wouldn't do that. I just don't think I could do that.
Fair. Okay, well, you know, we are about at the we're past the halfway mark of August. How should we prepare for like the small cap bounce back? Like, what should we be expecting, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so for the last maybe 8 weeks, we've kind of been preparing for a slower market. And whoa, hello, did she hit? You know, I feel like she really, really hit us in the face with this slow market. This really gives like 2019, 2018 vibes. And that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And so now I want to switch gears from being the, you know, concerned slow market guy to the optimistic. Because, you know, I feel like morale is low overall on FinTwit. You know, morale is low. So now I want to switch gears. Okay. Today I was talking about, I just wanted to see the sample size. So I took just the stocks that started with letter A that were underneath a dollar. And I looked at what the RSI was on the 1 day, 1 hour chart. Or wait, 1 year, one day chart. Okay. And what I found was that of the 15 stocks, all of them were under 40 except for one. And so remember, we've been talking about RSI a lot. That's the relative strength index. And so over, you know, like 45 to 50 is kind of neutral. Underneath like that 35, 30 mark is oversold. And then above, like, you know, let's call it like 65, 70 is considered overbought. And so all of these are underneath 40, which is considered oversold, except for one. One of them's at 45, so they're neutral. And so what that signals to me is that, you know, we're only midway through August, but if we have another week or two of this, most of these, I mean, there's some of them, you know, I'm looking at them right now. Most of them are 31, 31, 32, 32, 34, 33. Like, they're all gonna, like, they'll be inside the 20s on the RSI if we have another week or two of this. And personally, I'm okay with it. You know, bring them down, because when you really start to get into those levels of like, you know, on the RSI, when you on these bigger time frames, when you start to get into the 20s, that's when it's like, you know, I mean, listen, of course it can go lower, but that's when like your risk reward really changes. And it's one of those things where you can really make a really good risk reward case on most of these now. And that's how, you know, this is kind of like where I start to like my favorite market, because what happens is that things get obliterated and then now they're trading at below cash. You know, like the perfect ideal setup would be like RSI at 20, trading below cash per share. You know, but enough cash for the next year with a defined catalyst and like an American company, you know, something like that. Like, that's something where I can get behind and I can get, like, you know, put 35% of my account in without blinking an eye. Like, those are the ones like the Rumble of last year, you know, like the WTRH. Like, those are the ones where I can really give really good risk to reward and not be constantly thinking about, oh shit, what if this happens? Yeah, what if this happens? You know, so that and you know, but having the same reward as something like a phase three data without taking on the same risk. So what I'm trying to say is that looking at the sample size that I did look at, you know, I'm optimistic. You know, like I said, I'm going to Egypt, we're going to Reno, and that's Labor Day, and that's typically when things start to pick up into the end of the year. So my ideal situation is that for the next 2.5 weeks, we continue to see this downward pull. You know, RSIs go into the 20s, and then when we come back from Reno, you know, things start to heat up a little bit. Maybe algos turn back on. You know, hedge fund managers are back from vacation, their kids are back back in school. Everybody is all together like, hey, let's make some money into the end of the year. You know, we'll turn the algorithms back on. And like I said, is that, you know, and instead of, you know, buying things, you know, the saying for the last 16 months has been buy high, sell higher. You know, now everything's gotten killed. So now what I want to see is like, hey, you know, really great risk to reward, you know, defined catalyst, you know, and I think that like we could, and that's the way that it's shaping up right now. So if we see another 2.5 weeks of this, you know, we're going to see some really great opportunities for any trading style.
Looking back at August, what are some things, I mean, I know it's not even over yet, but looking back at the first half of August, what are some things you kind of wish you did differently, if trade at all?
Yeah. I would have definitely sized down much faster. Actually, I would have just stepped away. I've taken a good monetary hit on the account inside the past 6 weeks, and it's just been more stress. Like I could have. It's funny because I was talking to Gary while we were talking surgery, and we could have bought like 3 Ferraris. Ran them into the Hudson, left them there, not collected the insurance check, and I still would have been better off than if I didn't trade during August. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, although when I was younger inside this career, I used to trade more. And so August, what would usually happen is that I would go up like, you know, let's call it 300%. And then in August, I would give back 50% of my gain. So I'm not doing that, but it's still like, I look back on it. I'm like, oh my fucking God, you idiot. Like even now, we're not even out of August and I'm still thinking that. So I definitely think that I would have, I really just have to walk away in August because like I physically have to travel.
Yeah, I think I even mentioned this on the first episode in August, that I don't really trade in August, and thank God I don't, because it seems like everyone else is having some issues. You know, I take some small plays here and there, but I think that's my favorite part about this. I mean, you don't have to do this every fucking day.
No, I mean, I like to do it every day when it's you know, sexy. You know,
yeah, but it hasn't been. So I think that's the coolest thing is I've just been kind of chilling, taking some small trades every now and then. And, you know, but like one thing I did was, you know, we were talking about lots being super cheap after the earnings report, like at 4. I started scaling in there around like 385 to 370, and it had a nice pop today to like 415. So you are kind of seeing some of those oversold ones. You know, start to get some life into them. So it'll be fun to see how they, you know, keep playing out the rest of the year.
Yeah, bro. I mean, if you take lots on that 1 year, 1 day chart, I mean, that thing, the RSI was at 29. So it literally did get into the 20s, as we were just talking about. And I mean, now, like, even still, okay, I think it was up 10% today at one point. And so even still,
like
when
seven,
it was.
Right?
Okay, yeah. So even at that point, the RSI still only got up to 37. So I mean, that still signals that there's still room for it to go. I mean, the what is this? Like even like the 200-day moving average is like $7 a share. So there's room for these to go. I just think that it's that, you know, we have to see max pain because, you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, everybody's feeling it right now in August, whether you're losing money or not. You know, like nobody likes to just not make money. Like there's some, like when you go from making, you know, let's call it $500 a day to making $100 a day, you know, even though you're still making money, you know, you don't you obviously don't want like that feeling. So similar to that, I still think that we need to see max pain for those people that, you know, are inexperienced and they're trying to force things. You know, I think another 2.5 weeks really gets us to that max pain where RSIs are like 25, 26 and the timeline works. Like that's the timeline that is usual with these small cap, timelines and the small cap, market cycle.
All right. Well, the last thing we were going to talk about was, you know, going into some sectors that we're kind of excited about going into the future. I think some that are kind of like right now that I think will get a little more pop, and especially if they start PRing some, is going to be some of the NFT plays. I mean, you see it still with crypto plays and blockchain related things, but I think when the NFT plays, you see how hot they are right now. It's just, you get the right ones that like to juice a good PR and they start saying they're into NFTs. I think those will start to get some good pops too.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that there's, so I'll take the NFTs first. I think that, like you were saying, I'm right in line with that. Also, I think that it would be interesting if the government took a stance on NFTs. Like, could you imagine if...
I imagine, the thing is, you remember, the hearing with Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, yo, Google and Facebook, and he's like, yo, Google and Facebook aren't the same thing. if they have to say that, imagine them trying to be like, yeah, we have these, image files that are selling for hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's like, wow, they must be beautiful pieces of art. And they'd be like, and then he gets to see a CryptoPunk. He's like, the fuck?
I get what you're saying. And I think what if Yellen came out and was like, yeah, my grandson owns NFTs, they just make a comment about it that's neither bearish nor, but basically, it, as long as they don't say something along the lines of we're going to start heavily regulating NFTs, that's something where I think that could definitely be a catalyst. I think that that's something that could be a catalyst. The other thing is that, I don't think we have seen celebrities get into NFTs, but not really, nothing crazy. I know Tom Brady's doing his first NFT. What if this becomes an alternate source for them?
I think the thing is with a lot of these, you just see the internet savvy ones get in on it first. You saw Logan Paul buying $1 million worth of NFTs. I think yesterday tweeted that. You have all the pro gamers, the FaZe Clan kind of guys. And then it's, I think everyone else will just hop in later, kind of like blockchain. Crypto as a whole. But I think with crypto and NFTs, they kind of go hand in hand. They grow together. They go together.
Yeah.
I think, especially when you got Gary Vee posting shit 100,000% gains.
Yeah, that's true.
Fucking Willie Meat Sauce in Yellow bought one for $225 on Monday at 5 a.m. and then they sold it for $9,500 4 hours later.
How? What's the strategy behind that?
It was some ape, all the new ape ones, yeah. And it was a one of one, and I guess they just snagged it because of the super early and. But yeah, they got it for $225, and then 5 hours later, they got offered $9,900, and they were like, okay.
That's insane. Good for them. Yeah. I definitely like that. I really like emerging markets, and what I mean by that is things that could be enacted into law or bought to as a bill inside the next few years. And obviously, the biggest two that come to mind are EVs and weed. Those two, I think that those are can be and NFTs and crypto, but I think that the two that the government will focus on over the next few years will be weed and EVs.
They have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'll be forced to. And it was somebody that I was talking to. It was I was like, "Are you gonna get the Fisker? Are you gonna get the Fisker car, or whatever?" And he was like, "Dude, after the tax relinquishments or whatever, the Fisker Ocean thing is $22,000. He's like, it's like a no. There you go. And Dan's holding up his Fisker hat. Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's he's like, it's a no brainer, dude. Even if I didn't like the car, it's $22,000 for this SUV. You can't buy a Honda Odyssey for less than $35,000. So I think that in that regard, you have that play. And then with the weed, I truly think within August 17th of 2022, there will be a weed bill passed some kind of weed bill, whether like deregulation plus, you know, something on top of it. And then I think that, like, you know, either early 2023 or 2 years from now, so maybe August 2023, you know, weed will be legalized inside the street, not you know, necessarily inside the streets, but
no fucking chance.
Stop it, dude. It's going to, dude, I'm telling,
look,
you.
I am the most wannabe, like, trust me, I'm the biggest weed fan.
But dude, I know.
Dude, Alabama, dude, you remember why, like, the whole state law thing became a thing. Trust me, Alabama is going to stay hard on this issue.
Yeah, but there's a blue wave right now inside the Senate and the House. Like, it's you know, right now, I think it's like, I just don't think that there's a chance that, like, a state like Alabama can even come close with the votes. I mean, if you look at it from a revenue perspective, it's a no-brainer.
Dude, we don't even have the fucking lottery.
Are you serious?
I swear to God,
Alabama doesn't have a lottery.
The only casinos there are on Indian land.
It's like Arizona
too. I'm saying that, but there are no scratch offs in gas stations.
Wait, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, like there's literally no kind of gambling.
No, that's what I'm saying, dude. There's no scratch. I think we may be the only state, like, without that shit.
Are you that? Wait. So can you play like DraftKings?
We have to go to Mississippi or Florida if we want to buy scratch off tickets or like play like.
Holy
the money
shit! Wait. So can if you're like,
that's what I do every time. Like, I come.
Do you hide your scratch offs like a gun, like inside your car?
No. It's not like that. You just can't, like. You know, it's not like they got like lottery sniffing dogs like searching your car for like the shit that comes off when you scratch it off. But no, dude, those things have always been like a luxury for us. Like, if someone goes to Florida in your family, they bring back scratch offs for everyone.
That's insane. Okay, so then here's an interesting tidbit. Okay, so you know how. Obviously, the states, like, let's say Colorado, okay? The Colorado legalized marijuana, and obviously, the feds haven't yet. Do you think that inside the same token that a state like Alabama would, let's just say that it did get approved federally. Do you think that there's a world where maybe, like, the state of Alabama holds firm?
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
So they're just gonna say that we don't recognize the federal law.
Dude, yeah, that's kind of the Civil War started too, man.
Yeah, but
it's gonna come down to Alabama not wanting fucking hippies or degenerates smoking weed.
That seems whoa. I mean, this is interesting. I don't know. Has there been a bigger debate inside the last few years? I mean, women's rights inside the you know, the mid 50s. Wow, that's
a rights movement.
Well, you know what I mean. Like you know, like nobody's fighting over, you know, nobody's fighting over electric, you know, like over a Tesla like this, you know. But like, this is truly something where, you know, maybe some states like just say no, like they there's just no way.
Dude, I mean, my parents just came around to the idea like 4 or 5 years ago, man. Like, dude,
are smoking weed?
Yeah. I mean, I was getting arrested for it like every now and then too. So that was probably
I just smoked my first joint like this year.
Wow, dude, that's hardcore, man.
It was when I was investing inside a company. I was like, I gotta try
the
product.
Gotta try. You gotta see what all this hype's about.
Yeah, and then I liked it, so I bought 2% of the company. So I said, well, this is, I don't know, I have nothing to compare this to, but I like it. That's insane. Okay, wow.
But do you want to keep talking about that sector, or do you want
to? It's honestly so mind-blowing to me that it's like, I just can't. But last thing that I will touch on is that I think it's interesting. I was looking through, as we were, you know, when we were talking about this, I was looking through, and it's interesting some of the red states who are more business, like some of the representatives and some of the politicians that are more business-minded, because they're sitting there, and the same people that were saying like, no way, like we would never allow this. They then saw the figures on how much revenue it would bring into the state, and a few of them changed their stance, or not changed completely, but are now open to it. So I'm really excited for where this is going to go. I'm really excited. That's it on that though.
Yeah. Oh, another one I'm excited about are definitely like VR ones. I mean, if anyone's played any VR or has like an Oculus, you know, like that shit's got a lot of potential, but also it's got a ways to go. You know, as much as I love the thing, I don't like having an 8-pound weight on my head all the time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was because we used to play poker for last year for a little bit, right? During the summer.
Yeah, during whenever COVID was really popping off, we were all really playing that good bit. But, you know, just got a point where but when it does get to that point where it has the amount of games it has and everyone's just chilling in there, you got your NFT, you got your NFTs hanging on your Oculus like walls and shit, you know, it'll be awesome. So,
yeah. Also, then at that point, it's like you keep us in lockdown because we'll all still be, you know. We'll all just be together.
I mean, like, you imagine all the kids that, like, all you see them do is, like, playing on the iPad all the time. Imagine them, like, you won't even be able to speak to them, like, if they have an Oculus on.
They'll literally be in a different world.
The thing is, like if a kid's born now, and by the time they're 10, they start playing Oculus. By the time they're, like, 20, there's probably going to be fucking jobs on the Oculus that you, like, work in virtual reality.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like this stuff is just the beginning stage. And I was talking to someone and they were like, oh, like how much bigger can it get? And I'm like, people thought the same thing with like the calculator. When it first came out, the calculator was this fucking big and like 20 grand.
Like, dude, the internet wasn't supposed to be big.
Like, yeah. Like, you know, it's like how much bigger can it get? Like a real, like, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea. Yeah, we could just be doing everything inside an Oculus forever.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. I mean, there was a point wherever I had like three monitors set up inside my Oculus where I had TD Ameritrade, Discord, and Twitter all popped up. And I was like, all of this is just right here. And it's like, I'm living in it. And I was like,
you know, it would be scary if like that. You remember that movie WALL-E or whatever? Like, you know, like the people on like the chairs and stuff. I mean, that's WALL-E? The next step. Yeah, like the little dirty robot WALL-E, guy.
But yeah, no, I know a movie. I just haven't seen it.
Dude, it's scary. All right. And then what other sectors do we have? I mean, we talked about, we have a, you know, on the other side is that not only do we have the emerging markets and the emerging sectors, you know, there could be some pretty good sectors to short. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't know what to do with gold right now. I mean, gold has kind of been inside a limbo, and because of this crypto boom, you know, you have the people that are, you know, stashing gold away, and then you have the people that are like, I can't go short gold enough. So, I mean, I definitely think that there will be a few short sectors in there. One of them probably is used cars pretty soon. I mean, if you take something like,
hey, fuck you, man, I'm in lots right now. Chill.
soon, not yet, but soon. Anyways, a good fundamental company never does bad. But anyway, I think that let's take the Corvette. Okay, there's Corvettes for sale right now, and I know that comes down to like a supply and demand issue. But there's Corvettes right now, okay, that are MSRP like 83 grand. People are driving them for 6 months, putting 20,000 miles on them, and then selling them for 120, like literally a 50% premium. Like that can't last.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is fucking crazy. I don't know, like, everything about the used car market, but it seems like a bargain for the driver. I mean, it took me a while I remember I went to the Porsche store, and I was, like, looking around.
Baller.
I was looking at the Macans, and apparently if you work at Porsche, you get a car. I guess you, like, lease it for cheap or some shit. You just get one. And I was like looking in the Macans and stuff, and I go in, I'm like, hey man, can I test drive one of the Macans? He's like, we don't have one here. I'm like, dude, I've been fucking looking inside of this one for like 10 minutes. He's like, oh, that's one of the employees. I was like, shit, My
dude,
bad,
if he
bro.
Was a real, if he was a real salesman,
he would have let me test drive his.
Yeah, if he was dedicated to the cause, he would have given you. He would have given.
I
it
walked
to
in
you.
In like gym shorts and like a Penny's Gun and Raw T-shirt. I didn't look like I looked like and drove in the like 2011 Jeep Patriot.
Dude, anytime that I buy just... anything over like $100, I make sure that I'm look homeless.
Yeah, well, I definitely did.
Just because I'm waiting for somebody to discriminate against me so I could say, you get it. Anyway.
All right, well, I think that's all the emerging markets I could think of.
That's all I got.
All right, well, that's it for this Wednesday. I hope everyone has a great Wednesday and rest of the week. Attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you off for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code PGIR. And guys, I'm reading this straight off the thing, man. So y'all don't be like, Dan, you really lost your ad reading ability. Look, boys, all I know is the rock hard cock rocket of the stock market. There's no forest around that. And it's because of Manscaped. You know, when you're going where I'm going, you don't want anything, you know, getting in the way. You want to go in fresh, clean, and just smooth and fully groomed. So make sure to use code PGIR on manscaped.com today. Code PGIR.